Looking up again, the Eldar had drawn closer to me, his eyes oval and lambent with power, bored into me. I saw you, didn't I? On the ship, before I realized where I was.
I tried to make contact before, but your mind was reeling, overcome with rage and a desire for freedom. You were also not long recovered.
Recovered from what?
As I say, it is the matter of earth upon which I must speak to you.
You're making no sense, creature.
This might be the only chance I get to contact you. After this, I may not be able to return. You must live, Vulcan.
The alien told me.
You must live, but stand alone as a gatekeeper. You are the only one who can perform this duty. You alone are the hope.
I frowned as the words spilling from this alien's lips made less and less sense to me. I shook my head, believing it another trick of my jailer, albeit an extremely elaborate one. My duty? A gatekeeper? This is meaningless. As a cloud creeps over the sun, my face darkened and I made fists of my hands. Sensing anger, the Farseer retreated back into the light.
It is not a trick. I speak the truth, Vulcan.
I grabbed for him, trying to snatch the edge of his robes and shake this illusion to dust, but there was nothing to hold on to.
When the time comes,
uttered the Eldar, his voice and form becoming one with the light as the entire chamber brightened like a sun,
you will know what you must do.
Falling to my knees, I roared, "Get out of my head!" Pressing the palms of my hands against my temples, I tried in vain to push the interloper out and return myself to reality. No more, I cried, shutting my eyes to the light as it burned them. No more.
No more,
I whispered. The light had gone. The chamber, the alien, everything gone. Reality reasserted itself, and as I opened my eyes again, for real this time, I saw it was made of dirty stone and dark iron. I was standing, the chains around my wrists taut as they took my weight. On my forearm, a fresh mark was branded into my flesh. Like the others I had noticed, I couldn't place its origin. The mystery of it would have to wait. Cruciform, I stared out into a different prison. Not the bottomless oubliette from before, or even the furnace where Kurz had tried to burn me to ash as I had burned the Eldar on Karatan. This place was new, and yet entirely old. A long hall stretched in front of me. Embedded in either flanking wall were mechanisms of an esoteric design, great gears and cogs fashioned alongside smaller and more intricate servos. Antiquity met modernity and became a fusion of genius so prevalent in the techcraft of old Firenze. Perturabo's work, I knew it instantly. Flagstones had been laid along the floor. They were grimy and slick. I suspected that whatever this room's intended purpose was, Kurz had thoroughly tested it before my incarceration. The stone was but a veneer, a grubby falsehood to give this hole a darker, more medieval atmosphere. Sconces set into alcoves along the flanking walls flickered with the torches within. To the naked eye, they appeared to be wood, but this too was a lie. They were springs and clockwork, just like every other half-shrouded machine in this dungeon. The change in surroundings was not the only thing that differed about this particular cell. Unlike before, this time I was not alone. At the opposite end of the long hall, huddled together and barred from me by a screen of dirty glassaic, were human captives. In the gloom, I saw army uniforms, civilian trappings, men and women both. I was not Kurz's only prisoner in this place, and as an unpleasant sensation arose in my gut, a voice uttered beside me,
"You can see them, but they cannot see you."
I scowled. "Aren't you supposed to be dead?" Ferus chuckled. It was an ugly sound, his ghoulish eyes fixed on the other prisoners. He extended a bony finger. Part of his gauntlet had rusted away. Even the miraculous living metal that once coated his arms and hands had sloughed away.
"Their fate," he croaked, jabbing the skeletal digit in the direction of the human prisoners, "lies in your hands."
A dull clunk of metal, heard from somewhere deep within the chamber's unseen artifice, heralded the first motion of the machinery embedded in the walls. One of the larger gears creaked, overcoming inertia, and started to move. Others followed, their teeth interlocking, an engine noisily cranking into life before my eyes. With the action of the gears, the servos started up too. Pistons exerted pressure as they expanded pneumatically with an unseen hiss of compressed air. Vents opened, momentum built. The exposed clockwork churned, and finally there came a louder, heavier clank of metal as some mechanism I could not see disengaged.